Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Speaking of the NFL draft, we'll get back to more of your phone calls a little later on this hour as well. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to some phone calls in the next segment. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. With you on a Sunday evening, Sean Pendergast. Good to be with you. Speaking of the NFL draft, get to talk a little NFL draft right now. The draft is, round one is Thursday night. And big night for a lot of young guys, 22 in all, going to be in Philadelphia for the draft. And to talk about the draft right now, he covers the NFL draft for the Sporting News. You can find him on Twitter at Optimum Scouting. Eric Galco joining me right now on CBS Sports Radio. Eric, appreciate you making time. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. We're, 5 days away, 4 days away now from the 2017 NFL draft, and there's a lot left to be answered.
Yeah. Is that like Christmas morning for you? Is it when you wake up on Thursday morning, does like food taste better and the air is fresher? It probably feels like it's the culmination of a lot of things for you, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, it's kind of everything comes to a head. And really, we finish our evaluations for our company and working with teams in March. And then really all of the end of March and April is figuring out what teams are going to do. So it ends up being more headaches finding out what they're thinking about, and all 32 teams having different draft boards. It's a lot to figure out, but certainly fun and see how things turn out on draft day.
Yeah, no question. And I want to get into some of the specifics with this draft in just a second, but we just had a caller from Cleveland call in the previous hour saying, I hope the Browns don't touch any of these quarterbacks this year. I don't think any of them are good enough to be taken in the first round. I don't know if I totally agree with that, but it is a very, it's a kind of a polarizing quarterback class because there's no hard and fast one and two like there's been the last couple of years in the draft. I'm curious your thoughts, Eric, with respect to this draft versus the 2018 draft, which seems to be more ballyhooed at the quarterback position. How do you think teams are going to approach this draft? Do you think they're going to factor in, especially teams near the top, next year's quarterback class versus this year's quarterback class? And how do you see the two classes compared to each other?
Yeah, I think first of the 2017 class, you know, we've seen quarterbacks go first and second overall three of the last 4 years. It seems unlikely we'll have that this year. So certainly it's a bit different than Winston and Mariota, Goff and Wentz, although I think Goff and Wentz probably weren't worth the first and second overall pick compared to these quarterbacks. So it's a bit different in that sense. I will say in this class, just very briefly, teams like the Steelers, the Giants, the Packers, teams that are really smart drafting teams, actually like this quarterback's depth quite a bit. So I think we'll see how those teams handle the second and third rounds, especially will kind of dictate how these teams like the draft class. But looking ahead of the 2018 class, there are some people I speak with in the NFL who are mentioning that. But for the most part, two things come up. One, there's only one Sam Darnold from USC. And as many teams as want to get him for next year, only one team will get him. And that's going to depend on how good or how bad their 2017 season is. So expecting to not be a quarterback this year to get Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen, who struggled a lot last year and may not be worth a top 10 pick, I think teams know that planning for next year is never the best strategy historically. I think especially we're overhyping 2018 class a little bit. We're not seeing 5-6 guys will be top 10 picks next year. It'll be the classic 1-2 guys in the top 10 picks. I think overall what teams are looking at in this year's class is, do we want the consistency we've seen from Deshaun Watson despite his upside maybe being a bit limited? Do we want the flashes we've seen from Mitch Trubisky over the course of his just 1 year at North Carolina but looks the part of a tough, durable, anticipating, confident quarterback and has all the flashes you want? Or do we want Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback who, after a year in the NFL and by 2018, may be quickly becoming one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL? Those are the three quarterbacks teams are discussing, and every team's going to have a different kind of risk tolerance. But I don't think any team's saying, hey, we'll pass this year in favor of 2018.
Yeah, Eric Galco joining me, talking some NFL draft here on CBS Sports Radio. You bring up an interesting dynamic there, Eric, which I'm a big believer that this could be the year where something like like that happens that you alluded to, a team that's already got an established but maybe an aging quarterback taking their next quarterback, and I'm acutely aware of it because I happen to be in a city that's picking 25th that needs a quarterback with the Houston Texans. How likely do you think it is that a team like, say, the Saints or the Chargers or the Giants or the, you know, the Steelers, I know, are picking after the Texans, but you know, that one of those teams that has a veteran guy but sees this as an opportunity to get a guy with a huge upside but able to sit for a couple of years, tabbing their next guy in the first round?
Yeah, I think all these teams would love kind of that Aaron Rodgers situation. The Packers had no intention of drafting Aaron Rodgers that year, but had him graded as a top 10 worthy prospect, and he fell to, I believe it was 24, and they took him because it was right value, and they were kind of in the market for a quarterback. One of the teams with the Saints, the Texans, the Chiefs are wrestling with is, hey, we know we need a quarterback of the future, but is it A, worth moving up in the draft for, and B, is it worth sacrificing a little bit of short-term chances to keep competing in favor of protecting our asset for the future? Certainly, it's easy to think that A, they should go for the win with the Texans, who have a team who clearly isn't that far away from being a Super Bowl contender based on their playoff success, same for the Chiefs and the Saints. Feel like, hey, we've got Drew Brees, we make our defense better, we can be back there. So I think those teams are wrestling with it. But as I said earlier, the smart teams, as I'll call them, teams are always picking in the back end of round one, really like this quarterback class. So I think certainly, God forbid Mitch Trubisky fell to the late teens or early 20s, he would have plenty of suitors. The Giants, the Steelers would move up, the Packers even. These teams would go after these guys because they know how talented they are. The question is, I think, will the Chiefs, who have 10 draft picks and likely only 7 roster spots to fill, will they trade a lot of picks to go in the top 10 to get Patrick Mahomes? Will the Texans move up despite not having the 2018 second rounder? Will they move up to get Patrick Mahomes or Mitch Trubisky or Deshaun Watson? Will the Saints move up a little bit to get their guys? So I think the question is, these teams know they need a quarterback of the future. Will they move up and sacrifice draft capital, which will probably hurt them in the short term, but to get the guy? I think the Chiefs, of those three teams I mentioned, are the most likely to make a big move of the draft or to get their quarterback.
Interesting. Who's your highest graded offensive player on this in this draft?
Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette has, I think, the fact that he struggled against Alabama the last 2 years, and that's partially thanks to his good, not great offensive line. People have kind of downplayed his upside, and he really is Bo Jackson meets DeMarco Murray as a running back. And he's a guy with tremendous athletic ability, 244 pounds, ran a 4.49 40 at the combine, and has a similar running style, but stronger and more agile than DeMarco Murray. We've seen Murray be one of the most productive running backs when he's in the right system. So I think if you put Leonard Fournette in a system that has plus initial level blocking, can get him to second level and get him to accelerate, and then let that Bo Jackson level athletic ability in space, he can be one of, if not the best running back in football. And running back we're looking at, just like we looked at Adrian Peterson just 10 years ago. So I think Fournette is that special a player. And overall, not a great receiver class. Tight end has O.J. Howard and David Njoku of Miami, but teams aren't sure if the top 10 is worth being a top 15 pick. So I think it's Fournette and then really everybody else. I think Christian McCaffrey's built a lot of team up as well.
We know that, and Eric Galco is joining me, covers the NFL draft analyst for the Sporting News at Optimum Scouting on Twitter. I know that some of this is going to be dependent on what team they go to, and especially on the offensive side, system and things like that. But if you had to guess, if you had to bet right now, NFL rookie most likely to be a Pro Bowler as a rookie would be?
On the offensive side of the ball?
Either one.
I think Myles Garrett's going to get 8-9 sacks easily next year. He's that special player. He's one of the, if not the best defensive player we've seen in the last 10-15 years. Now, it's an easy answer, but I think people in Cleveland and across the people who follow the draft have kind of gotten complacent with how talented he is. But I think Christian McCaffrey, I mentioned Leonard Fournette being a special player, but a lot of him is going to depend on his offensive line, at least as a starting point. But McCaffrey is so much more than just a third down guy, a pass catching running back. He's a guy who comes from the Stanford offense. He can handle 20 carries a game in the Stanford offense, which is run heavy between the tackles. And he's a tremendous pass catcher. And he's a reliable third down blocker. I think McCaffrey will quickly be a running back who gets you 1,400 all-purpose yards in the NFL as a receiver and as a runner. I think he'll be an impact player, whether he's a Panther, whether he's an Eagle, whether he's a Saint, by next year.
Yeah, it's funny, and I think the thing that McCaffrey has going for him, Eric, just in terms of the mock drafting and the forecasting that we see, he seems to be forecasted in that range of the first round where there's like a slew of about 8 or 9 teams that have established quarterbacks in place, which is great for a guy coming in, like you said, that could potentially catch 60 or 70 balls out of the backfield and run the football as well.
Yeah, and the Eagles want McCaffrey, and I've been told the Eagles had planned on him being there at 14. I had it on good authority that he was going to pick, and I think they're surprised that he's going to go earlier now, but maybe to the Panthers. So don't be surprised if the Eagles move up to get him in the top 7 or 8 picks to secure Christian McCaffrey, but he has a lot of interest because, like you said, he's more than just a out-of-the-backfield guy. He's a guy that does everything well, and he's proven to be a bruiser on the interior. So I think coming in, he can fit more offense than Fournette. Fournette has a better upside than Fournette. Like I said, could be one of the best, if not the best, running back in football in time in the right situation. But McCaffrey is going to be an instant impact in the NFL.
How does Myles Garrett compare as a prospect to Jadeveon Clowney from a few years ago?
He's a better athlete than Jadeveon Clowney was and has no injury question marks, which Clowney had and actually hurt him his first couple of years in Houston. But I think overall, Clowney was more of a 4-3 defensive end who can play inside the line but wasn't really a stand-up rusher that can do a lot of the versatile things Myles Garrett can do. Myles Garrett makes dropping into shallow coverage look so easy. He uses length so well. And I think what's most important is Garrett's only getting better. He's a pass rusher who has not been stifled by his athleticism and has developed over his career, but there's so many things he's not doing yet because he hasn't needed to that he can get better at in the NFL. He's a high-character guy. I think the issues about his motor have been drastically overblown these last few months, just trying to find a reason not to like Myles Garrett. But he's far better than Jadeveon Clowney. He's in the conversation with LeVar Arrington as a prospect coming out of college and those type players. He's that special, and he'll be an instant impact for the Browns. I'd be shocked if he didn't get 8-9 sacks as a rookie.
Eric Galco covers the NFL draft for Sporting News, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. How many quarterbacks go in the first round?
It'll certainly be Mitch Trubisky. He'll go someplace in the top 10. Again, I think it'll either be a Cleveland Brown if the owner has their pull in Cleveland or a Buffalo Bill. The Bills could move up to the second overall pick to secure him. I think Patrick Mahomes has plenty of interest. He won't get past 27 to the Chiefs, probably not 25 to the Texans, but he'll be likely picked somewhere in the top 14, 15 picks. And then Deshaun Watson. He could be everywhere from a top 5 pick. The Jaguars love him. The Bears have interest, too. A team in back of round one training up to get him from round two. The question now, I think myself and talking with teams as well as everyone in the media, the question now is how much do these teams like these quarterbacks? People like Deshaun Watson, like Mitch Trubisky, like Patrick Mahomes. Are these guys worth trading up for? Are these guys worth top 10 picks? I think a lot of teams are wrestling with that right now. Some teams, Chicago included, likes Deshaun Watson. Do they like him as a third overall pick or as a late first rounder? That's what they're trying to figure out right now, I think. I think people in the media, myself included, are trying to find out how they feel about these guys directly. But I think we'll see 3, no more, no less.
Last one, where do you think, where in the draft, roughly, do you think Joe Mixon's going to wind up going?
I think he'll be an early second-round pick. You look back at 2 years ago, Dorrell Green Beckham had substantial character issues, more frequent, although not as in the news as Joe Mixon was, and he was the first pick of the second round. I don't think Joe Mixon gets past the pick of the Bengals. I think it's at 39 or 40 of round two. They want him. But I think teams will maybe even trade up for Joe Mixon. As surprising as that is, I think the top 40 is almost a guarantee.
It's interesting. You know, it's like I heard Chris Spielman, I didn't hear him say it, but I saw a quote where, I wouldn't take him in the first round, but I'd take him as early as possible in the second round. And I'm thinking the PR backlash is going to be the same either way. If you like, you know what I mean? If you like him enough, take the guy. He's that good. Where do you have him ranked amongst, you said Fournette's your best offensive player that you've got on your board. Where is Mixon, just talent-wise, forget about the baggage, talent-wise, where do you have Mixon?
Yeah, we dropped Mixon 2 round grades for his issues off the field. And the question is, will he do this again? And talking with teams and getting more of his background, there's some confidence it won't happen again, and it's a one-time issue and truly an accident, but it was so notable and so graphic that I think it's hard for teams to get past that. Talent-wise, I believe he's the second-best running back in this draft class behind Fournette. He's above McCaffrey in terms of athletic ability, and Mixon as a pass catcher, as a guy in open field, as a run blocker, as a pass blocker, he's shown so much in a short window of time in Oklahoma. The sky's the limit in terms of what his ability can be. If he's mature enough to continue to develop in the NFL, and that's the big question with him and Dalvin Cook, if these guys can prove to teams they can develop and improve all areas of their game and not just rely on athletic ability, they can be 10 years in the NFL running back. The question is, do teams trust Mixon character-wise? Do they trust Dalvin Cook maturity-wise to get better?
Eric Galco at Optimum Scouting on Twitter, and you can catch his work with the Sporting News. Eric, appreciate the time. I enjoyed that conversation. Enjoy the draft this week, my friend.
Thanks, man. Talk to you soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.